And let's turn now to the book of John, the 21st chapter, page 1146 in your Scofield Bible. John chapter 21 and verses 21 and 22. And then we'll go to the next page and read a couple of verses from the book of Acts chapter 1. Let's read together, please, verses 21 and 22. Ready? Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? Jesus saith unto him, If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. And now verses 6 and 7 of chapter 1 of Acts, right across the page. And let's read these verses together. When they therefore were come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. Let's pray. Father, it's a wonderful day to be at the church, with the church family, with our preacher. It's a pleasant day, weather-wise, and we're thankful for that, of course. But we're thankful for people who come, whether it's clear or whether it's cloudy. Whatever the weather is, we're thankful for a constant kind of climate here within the church, a climate of love and compassion and blessing and power, that which brings great blessing to the church family and help, and in practical ways prepares us for the week to come. Thank you for our preacher. Bless him with power. Bless, we pray, and help us to listen intently and with purpose, in Jesus' name. Amen.
This morning I want to speak on the subject that's none of your business. A few things I want to get off my chest this morning. It's just none of your cotton picking business. That's point one. Point two, it's none of your frazzling business. And I want to speak this morning on the subject, that's none of your business. People ask me, how in the world do you get everything done you get done? My job is probably the most complicated. There's no way to describe it. I won't try to describe it. But I'm going to tell you this morning the nearest thing to the reason that I have so many things to do and do so many things. Now, I'm not saying that I work any harder than anybody else, but I'm saying I doubt there's a man alive that has as many things to oversee, decisions to make. For example, yesterday alone, Brother Ray Young gave me 45 different questions. That's not about the bus ministry. That's only about the part of the college that he oversees. 45 decisions I had to make yesterday just for the Ray Young. With the principals, we probably had another 40 or 50 decisions. And then the deacons last night. And so forth. Now, I really can't help you this morning if you listen to me. As I speak on the subject, that's none of your business. I want to read, without your looking at it, two of the verses we read a while ago, and I think you'll understand it when I read it. Jesus said unto him, that's Simon Peter, If I will be tarried till I come, get this, what is that to thee? Jesus said, Peter, it's none of your business. Peter was concerned about something, I'll tell you about it in a minute, and Jesus said, Keep your nose out of somebody else's business. He said, What is that to thee? Now, in the next chapter of the Bible, which is the first chapter of Acts, I read this. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own hands. What he was saying, again, he was saying, that is none of your business. Father, bless me as I speak. I want to be a help to the people that I have served for these 38 and a half years. I pray you'd help me to be a blessing and help to them today. That's all I ask. In Jesus' name, amen. Peter came to Jesus and asked a question about the future of the beloved John. He's called the disciple whom Jesus loves, and I've mentioned this before. It's so interesting to me that nobody else ever called John the disciple that Jesus loved except John. He's the only person ever said that at all. Mark didn't say it. Matthew didn't say it. Luke didn't say it. John just said, I'm his pet. That's what he said. I am the disciple. I love that. I love that. You're looking at the Christian, the preacher that Jesus loves this morning. And Peter came to Jesus and said, concerning the disciple that Jesus loves, and he said, what's going to happen to him? And Jesus said, what is that to thee? What he was saying is, none of your business what happens to him. And then he said, follow thou me. Jesus is saying, you got a full-time job following me and doing my will and doing what I tell you to do. Now quit crying what's going to happen to John. You be concerned about what is happening to Peter and not what's going to happen to John. Then in the next chapter in Acts 1, don't leave me now, I'm going to help you in a minute. The disciples came to Jesus and said, will you at this time destroy the kingdom? You see, he had said in John 14, I go to a prayer place, and if I go to a prayer place, I will come again. He had promised to come again. And they thought he was going to come right away. He's gone back. They didn't think it'd take him long to get things ready up there. And they expect him to come back. In fact, Paul said, we which are alive and remain, the coming of the Lord shall precede those that are asleep. What he's saying is, Paul said, I expect to be here. John said, the day is at hand. John expected Jesus to come back in his lifetime. So the disciples said to him, now this is the resurrected Lord now. He's in his glorified body. He's about to go back to heaven. And the disciples said, Lord, at this time will you restore the kingdom? And Jesus said, it is not for you to know the seasons which the Father hath put in his own hands. He said the same thing he said in chapter 21 of John. He said, it is none of your business. Did you know that most of your problems are caused by things that you pry into that are none of your business? Now, I want to call your attention today three things that will help you in your anxieties. By the way, most of your anxieties, most of our anxieties, and our worries are caused by what I'm going to talk about this morning. Now, I'm not saying that I'm perfect. Other people say that, but I don't know of any, but I'm not saying that I'm perfect, especially not even in these areas. But I try in these areas, and whatever success I have in what I'm going to preach about this morning is the result of the load I carry and all the things that I do. Now, in the first place, follow me carefully, I do not pry into the future. What's going to happen to me? It's none of your business. That's his business. I do not pry into the future. Now, here's the reason. I have no control over the future. The future is not mine. So I try to leave it alone. The future belongs to God. That's what they were saying, asking, are you going to restore the kingdom? And he said, that's not your business. It is none of your business. I promise you that 90% of all of your problems, anxieties and fears and worries are because you're trying to pry into the future. The future is not mine. I try to leave it alone. It belongs to God. The present is mine. And the present must occupy my entire attention. That's what he's saying. He said, Peter, you forget what's going to happen to John. He said, follow thou me. He said, you forget about John's future and think about your present. I used to play golf. I haven't played now in good night. It's been 30 years or more. But I used to play golf. I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to brag on myself. Golf, a guy just started, well, this golf, you play golf, and you'll agree to this. A fellow that first starts playing golf, if he shoots 110, he's doing pretty good. And a lot of players play a week and never get below 100. And what they call par is about 70 or 72. That's for professionals. And the college executives that take too much time off. But, Brother Scott doesn't shoot par. But he's a good golfer for a fellow that only plays three times a week. But I, Scout's Honor, cross my heart, hope Johnny Colson dies, I'm telling the truth. When I played golf, first time I ever picked up a golf club on a golf course, I shot a 92. Thank you. Thank you very much. And then I shot the back nine. Or the second hole. But I honest speak. You say, Brother Howe, what caused it? Okay, I never played 18 holes of golf. I played one hole. That's all I played. I shot 92 on that one hole. That's all I played. I played one hole. That's one thing wrong with our athletics today, and it's not the sermon, but everybody wants to win the pennant. If you go to a ball game, forget about the pennant and just think about that one game. Who's going to win this one game? Now, so I'm trying to say, if I shot an 8 on a par 3 hole, the next hole, I played that hole. I didn't play the hole behind me. And I didn't say, I wonder how I'm going to do in the future. I played only one hole of golf. Jesus is simply saying, your future is his business and not your business. And when they came to him and said, how about John's future? He said, that's none of your business. I'm interested in your present. I'm interested in what you're doing now. How about the kingdom? Is it about to come? And Jesus said, that's not for you to know. I just gave you the Great Commission. I just told you to go out and get people saved. Now, I'm not concerned about the kingdom's future, but your present. I'm not concerned about somebody else's future, but your present. He said, follow thou me. Someone said, concerning public speaking, they said the three things that they worried about. Well, in fact, I heard a man say, one of my good friends, J.T. Sizemore, used to say this. Not my pastor, but my pastor's son, who was our music education director. He said, when I make a speech, there are three things I worry about. He said, before I speak, I worry about what I'm going to say. And while I speak, I worry about what I'm saying. And when I get through, I worry about what I said. Now, that's not the way I am. The honest, simple truth is, I don't worry about what I'm going to say. You probably noticed that. No planet even. I don't worry about what I've said. Listen, I've preached across this country so many times, over 60,000 times I've preached. I have laid some eggs all over this country. In fact, I got little twin dinosaurs in every city in America where I've preached that have hatched from eggs I've laid. But when I finish preaching, I don't think about it. You see, I can't do a thing about next Sunday's sermon. I can't do a thing about last Sunday's sermon, but I can do something about this sermon right now, and I'll never preach again. I'm preaching now. I've never preached before. I'm preaching now, and the secret is you stay in that which is your business, and that's the now, and keep your nose out of the future. I never have lots of appointments. I only have one appointment. And that's the appointment I'm having right now. There may be 20 names on the list that I'm supposed to see someday, but I only really have one appointment, and that's the present appointment. I had many things to do. but I focus on what I am doing. If I have a funeral, that's the only thing in the whole world for me. If I have an appointment before the funeral, I'm not concerned about the funeral, I'm concerned about the appointment, though I don't usually do that. I'm saying, if I have a wedding, that is the only thing I have to do that day. As far as I'm concerned, though I have many other things to do, I center myself on that. If I have a sermon, to me, this is the most important sermon I've ever preached. I mean, right now. Why? Because it is the only sermon I can preach now. This is the only time I'm promised. This is the only sermon I'm promised. And if you just close that door and quit crying in the future and quit fretting about the future, you have a God that said He'll lead you through the wilderness and He is able to supply your needs in God's name. Let God worry about the future and you get busy in the present. He said, Peter, follow thou me. I'm not going to someday sit in a wheelchair. Now listen carefully to me, because hundreds of you are. I'm not going to someday sit in a wheelchair and say I didn't realize what I had. Now you listen carefully to me, brother. You're looking at a fellow who realizes what he has. You're looking at a fellow that every time he eats a meal, he savors every bite of it. You're looking at a fellow, every time he preaches a sermon, he enjoys every minute of it. I'm not going to wait and hit. How many times? Well, we just didn't know what we had. Well, know it! Good night, know it! For example, some of you folks are living in New Testament church history today, and one of these days, you'll read in history books about what happened in First Baptist Church of Hammond in the 1950s and 60s and 70s and 80s and 90s, and you'll read about it someday, and you'll say, I didn't know what was going on. Well, wake up and know what's going on. People all across America ask me this question. What's going to happen when Brother House is gone? Well, ask the question. What are you doing while Brother House is here? What are you going to do when you're gone? Well, what are you doing while I'm here? Hey, look. Hey, I'm here. The real me. Flesh and blood. I'm here. Now, ladies and gentlemen, it may be that one of these days, after I'm gone, this church may know its best days, and God knows, I hope it's true. It may be that this church be the same thing 50 years from now it is today. I hope it's true. But there's only one thing we know for sure, and that is our church is what it is right now. And don't you worry about the future. You get busy now, and let God worry about the future. You're prying into the future. I made this statement to my men this morning in the office. Listen carefully to it. There are a lot of people in heaven today who wondered what they would do when I'm gone. Did you hear what I said? There are a lot of people in heaven today that wondered what they're going to do when Brother House is gone. Now, the simple truth is, Brother John, I don't know what we're going to do when you're gone. Brother Scott, I don't know, you're younger than he is, and so is everybody else here. I don't know what I'm going to do when you're gone. What are we going to do without him? Well, my daughter will marry some good-looking guy. Ladies and gentlemen, there's one thing we all have today, and that's the present. Who would have thought that Steve Staten would be in heaven and not still be preaching here this morning? Who would have thought that Greg Sickman would be in heaven? I'm preaching here this morning. You don't know you'll have tomorrow, but you do know you have today. This is the day the Lord has made. Whom shall I say sent me, said Moses. And God said, tell him the I am sent you. Not the I was, not the I'm going to be, but I am. Many of your problems are caused by your, listen to me now, no talking, are caused by your prying in the future, just like the disciples. What's going to happen to John? What's going to happen to John? Jesus said, what's that to be? None of your business. Is the kingdom about to come? Jesus said, it's not for you to know that. He said, follow thou me. Build your bus route now. Build your Sunday school class now. Get people saved now. Enjoy your family now. Savor your life now. Take every minute of life and savor it and chew it and realize exactly what's going on now. Secondly, something else is none of your business. And that is, I do not pry into problems I cannot solve. Peter said, Jesus, I'm worried about John. And Jesus said, what is that to thee? I do not pry into the future. I do not pry. Listen to me now. Hey, I got something you might over here. I do not pry in the future. I do not pry into problems I cannot solve. Hey, I'm going to brag on myself. I was in school. I was a good student. Make good grades. We had 309 people graduating in our class. If I remember correctly, I was 17. I was not the valedictorian because the teacher didn't like me. But 17 out of 309 is sort of like being valedictorian in a class of 35 or 40. I graduated with honors. I made good grades. Wait a minute. A lot of folks smarter than I was didn't make as good grades as I made. You say, why? I'll tell you why. Came time to take a test. I'd go through all the questions at one time first. And the ones I couldn't answer, I forgot them. And I answered all those I knew I could answer first. Then after I got through with those, I went back and guessed at the rest of them. I was not real smart, but the girl next to me was. You're falsely accusing me. But I didn't try to answer the questions I couldn't answer. Listen to me now. Listen to me. I didn't try to solve the problems I couldn't solve till I had solved the problems I could solve. Now listen, it's none of your business what your neighbor does. It's none of your business what your friends do. It's none of your business what others do. It's your business what you do, and you keep your nose out of their business and get busy doing your business. I don't try to solve problems I cannot solve. I don't start a task I cannot finish. I don't solve problems I'm not asked to solve. I don't solve problems I don't need to solve. I do not try to do what I cannot do. I do not try to know what I cannot know. I do not meddle with what I cannot control. Let me illustrate. Some of my dearest friends have started colleges. Dr. Vineyard left here, taught in our college. Left here, went down to Oklahoma City, started a college. Dr. Bob Gray graduated from our college, went down to Longview, Texas, started a college. Others have started smaller colleges. Dr. Keith Gomez, my good friend over in Illinois, is starting a college this fall. The next fall, Dr. Tom Neal, my good friend down in Florida, is starting a college. Now you sit with the house, does that bother you? Not at all. I wish we had 1,000 good fundamental Christian colleges all over America. But you say, Brother Hiles, what's going to happen to Hiles Anderson? Suppose that Brother Vineyard got some we'd have gotten? Yeah. And Brother Bob Gray got some we'd have gotten? Yeah. And Brother Comez will get some we would have gotten? Yeah. And Brother Neal will get some. You say, Brother Hiles, what's going to happen to us? None of my business. It's my business today to give it all I've got. And by the way, whether or not Brother Vineyard's college hurt or over or not, I don't know, but we're doing well. I'm trying to say, ladies and gentlemen, don't let other problems and other people's problems, don't pry. Thank God for every one of those colleges. Thank God for every college in America that believes the old King James Bible and teaches salvation by grace through faith and believes in separation from the heathen world. Thank God for all of them. I want to give it my best and do my best and live today and follow Jesus today. I'm not going to pry into problems I cannot solve.
What's going to happen to John?
What's that to you? None of your business.
Is the kingdom coming soon?
It's not for you to know. It's the time of the season that God has placed in His own hand. It's none of your business.
I promise you today that 90% of your worries are caused because you spend more time prying in the future than you do succeeding in the present. And because you spend more time prying into problems you cannot solve than you do trying to solve the problems you can solve. Now look, I'm not very smart, but I learned this. If there are 50 questions on that test, if I can know I can answer 40 of them, that's an 80. That's not 80. You guys don't know because you never made that big a grade, but that's an 80. So I know I can make an 80. What is an 80 at the college? A C? C. I know I can pass. Now, if I go get all of those first, I know people that start on the first column, and they worked, and they worked, and they worked, and they worked, and didn't finish the test. And I got better grades than they did. So the ones I knew, I knew. I went out and answered all those, and that's those I didn't know and guessed at it. Especially if they're multiple choice. I love those kind of tests. Or true and false, even better than that. Now, you listen to me. You are sitting there today facing a nervous breakdown, about to crack up. And I'll tell you what, a lot of it's because you're trying to pry into the future that doesn't belong to you. It's God's. And God is more able to take care of the future than you are. So quit looking in the future and quit prying into problems that you cannot solve. None of your business, Jesus said. Number three, and last. You love that word, last. I do not pry into the past. I get all I get done because I don't pry in the future. I don't pry into problems I cannot solve. I don't pry into the past. Now listen, folks, there's some people here today that like to forget a lot of things in the past. Then do it. That's the idea. Well, if I could just forget the past, do it. I cannot change the past. It's gone. I cannot know the future. That's in His hands. I can know the opportunity that I have at this moment. A fellow said, talking to a new Christian, and he said, "Oh, Brother Hines, I live in remorse over my past sins. I live with in remorse over my past life." And I said, "Forget it, your past sins. Forget them. God has." I said, "They're blotted out of God's book." I said, "They're blotted out of God's memory." Boy, aren't you truck drivers glad about that? And you sailors even more glad about that. And you fellows on the platform even more glad than they are. Now, I'm trying to say, they're blotted out of God's book. They're blotted out of God's memory. I said to him, they're buried in the deepest sea. They're separated from you. As far as the east is from the west, your sins are under the blood. They're not recorded in heaven. They're behind the back of God. And they're hidden from God. I said, quit prying in the past. He's forgotten them, bless God. Now you forget them and live today for today. That's the answer. That's the secret. So this morning, if you're having nervous problems, if you're having nervous breakdown, ma'am, men don't have nervous breakdowns, women do. Men cause them to have them, but over the house, what's going to happen in the future? None of your business. None of your business. Jesus said that. What's that to me? Or if it's somebody else, like Peter said, what's going to happen to John? Jesus said, what's that to me? John's business is not your business. Keep your nose out of it. Quit making phone calls and talking about somebody else. It's none of your business.
Don't pry in the future. Don't pry into those things of which you have no power and things that you cannot solve, you cannot solve. And don't pry into the past. Because if you're saved, that's all covered. They're underneath the blood of the cross of Calvary. As far removed as darkness is from dawn. In the sea of God's forgetfulness, that's good enough for me. Praise God. My sins are gone. Now that means this morning. That means that every sin you've committed, as far as God's record's concerned, can be blotted off your record. That means that God will erase your sins from His record. He'll forget that you've committed them. You say, Brother House, you don't know what I've done. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. That means this morning, if you're not a child of God, if you never trusted Christ, you don't know you're going to heaven. That means you walk down the aisle this morning and somebody said you how to be saved, and they'll do it. And you can receive Christ as your Savior, and you can leave this room this morning with no worry about the past. It's blotted out! And no worry about the future, because He's in charge. Why don't you walk down this aisle today and say yes to Christ? Two people I want to talk to. That person this morning that's busy prying into the future, prying into the past, and prying into problems he cannot solve. And that person who's not saved, you can put your future in the hands of him and your past behind your back. And that'll